As you review this data that Anonymous is posting online, what do you see, what are you writing about that are some things that people are doing that they should stop doing?
Well, the first 28,000 email addresses that Anonymous posted online included the hacked passwords for them, too. So you look through them and see pretty much that people are using very weak passwords when they're signing up these accounts. And, you know, it's pretty common, and I'm sure I know I've been guilty of it, especially in the past, where, you know, you get on a site once and you don't want to go to the trouble of thinking of some complicated password, so you just make up what they call a throwaway account. But sometimes you could be revealing your favorite password that you use for email or your banking or to get into your corporate network, and or you just reveal things about yourself. I saw one person that looked like they were using their birthday, which happened to be October 31st. Other people, their sports teams, their pets' names, you know, just classic weak password practices.
You pointed out a couple in the newsletter that you send out that I want you to get a plug in for later, because it's very helpful to me. Some of these I really liked. Somebody used the password fishhead. Someone used the password stratfor. That's clever. And lovecakes. What do you think people are thinking when they do this? In an era when we can get hacked seemingly as often as it seems to happen.
Evidently, the first thing that pops into their head. Fishhead isn't there a pub or something in the D.C. area called Fishhead?
There's a place called Dogfish Head. There are a couple of those around. And then, I immediately, when I go to Fishhead, I go back to the old Saturday Night Live routine.
Right. And, that's the trouble with coming up with passwords for every single site. If you want to leave a comment at a newspaper site, they ask you to log in because, of course, they're trying to capture and demonstrate to their advertisers that they've got so many unique users. They're all requiring this. And then a lot, like Stratfor, don't use best practices in protecting those usernames and passwords, obviously, because they got hacked.
How can I help my organization if I'm an IT leader in a federal agency? How can I help my people get around this in a way that will not be burdensome to them, but will help to keep a network secure and keep information secure?
Well, first, somebody's got to take half a day and review exactly how the website's set up, where the data is stored, if the website collects any information. And then most especially, as we're going to learn, hopefully not too soon, from the Stratfor leaks, the protections around your email servers. If it's fairly easy for an administrator to use no password to get in, or a very simple password to get in, or the same password they used for the website, which was just stolen and hacked, then the attackers can get to all of the email spools that are retained on that email server, and that's the most devastating thing just about that could happen. And so just looking at it, reviewing it, and somebody's going, hey, shouldn't we protect the database with a password instead of just letting the web server talk directly to the database without logging in? And if we're storing passwords, as most websites do, there's classic Unix libraries that use MD5 hashes to obfuscate what the actual passwords are, which is great. But you have to add the additional factor to it, which is called salting, so that they're unique to the world instead of just what you get with an MD5 hash, which can be reverse engineered with lookup tables.
You point out, too, that there are some .mil and .gov email addresses on this, and we have a link now on federalnewsradio.com that you provided for DazzlePod to see if your email address is in the Stratfor database. Richard, appreciate you being on this afternoon. Your new book, Cyber Defense, Countering Targeted Attacks, what's going to be in there?
So this is the follow-on to the Cyber War book, which just talked about the history of state-sponsored attacks, and now I'm taking a step back and answering the exact question that you just asked, which is how does an enterprise, any organization, protect itself from these targeted, malicious, and intentful attacks? that are going on against your organization.
I enjoyed talking to you face-to-face about surviving cyber war, so next time you're in Washington, let me know, and we'll get together and talk about the new book, too.